Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy? Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with my man, Greg Romero Wilson. McCorkle, Doc Fry, if he ever figures this out. It's gonna be a great show. First, I want to congrats Greg because he has been made a recurring part on The Neighborhood, which got picked up for season four. So congrats on that, man. Thank you very much. I've always said it. Greg is one of the funniest comics and hilarious comic actor, and I honestly think people are finally recognizing it. So I'm happy for you.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate that. And it was a really blessed because, of course, you know, it came out of nowhere and they were like, hey, they want you to come back. They're bringing back the character. And so, and of course, you know, you finish this episode and it seems like I'm gone again, but they were like, no, Norm's coming back. We love Norm. So, and of course the character's name is Norm. So now right. When I show up on staff, people are like, Norm.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. And, so it's very nice.
So, how was your weekend, Sean? What did you do?
Virtually nothing, man. We've been snowed in here, so it sucked really, really bad. We got like 12 inches over a period of 2 days, so it's been the worst, man. It's plus I live way out in the middle of nowhere.
Are you up in Big Bear?
So I might as well be, dude. It's been terrible. Actually, in today's world, it could have been in Houston. Who knows, man? It's crazy, man. I hate this weather. Absolutely hate this weather, and that's why it's smart that I bought a house in Indiana because there's no better weather than here. So. Golly.
Yeah, so I was in Vegas.
You're in Indiana? Oh. I had no idea you're in Indiana.
Yeah.
Why
yeah,
it's a lot of fun. I don't know. What did you miss? Why did you?
I was born here and had kids here, unfortunately, and they're not moving, okay. So I got to stay here.
Well, that makes sense then. Now it makes sense.
Damn. So I was in Vegas all week doing comedy, which was pretty damn awesome. It's just so nice to actually be doing live comedy. Although they sectioned out the whole front, basically the front was gone. It was just people around the side, around the perimeters. And the last time I was there, I was afraid I wasn't going to get booked back because there was a lady there that complained. She said I was too dirty. This Asian woman said she thought she was going to go see Ellen. She thought the comedy was going to be like Ellen just cause maybe we have the same haircut or something. But like, I don't know why you would assume. I mean, there's the internet. So she got upset, of course.
Oh my God.
And you know, in comedy, it's like you make 500 people laugh with one complaint. So when they brought me back, I was happy cause I love playing Vegas and I love playing this club. Although, you know, like I said last time, BJ Penn came to the show. That was pretty cool. But I feel like the crowds now, because everyone's just been inside so much, it's like letting a dog out of a crate. People don't know how to act.
Yeah.
Like, they're just screaming and yelling and having the best time ever and drinking way too much because they're outside for the first time in, what, 6-7 months, you know? So anyway, so this guy I know who's like in his 50s or 60s, he's married to this porn star who's like 24. And her friend came, and after the show, they came up to me and they were like, "I'm like, oh, so what do you guys do? Blah blah." You know, I like knew. I'm like, "How'd you get into porn?" They're like, "Oh, we're here filming. We're actually we wrestled in high school, and they're filming this kind of porn."
Oh, that's cool.
But they're doing like wrestling porn.
Sweet Submissions? Is it called Sweet Submissions?
It's called Evolved MMA, where the winner the winner fucks the loser. That's the whole point.
Nice. I believe that was originally called Prison MMA. I'm pretty sure that was the original name of that particular move.
Don Fry, I'm getting a lot of feedback from you. Is there anywhere you can go where I don't get feedback, brother?
No, that's my bulldog. I'm sitting here breathing.
Oh, your Bulldogs here. Great. Okay, so that's exactly what I asked. So anyway, so it was like the winner fucks the loser. So we like go out afterwards, right? I like cut out for a drink and have a drink with these people. And then they're like, the girl was telling me that one girl used to be a school teacher. She was a gym teacher, but her like a phys ed, and her husband was into, like, they were on some website for fetishes, and they were selling their sex videos, and now they're doing it full time, right? Now she's a full time porn star, and the other one's like 24. And then, so we're, you know, I'm pretty interested in this, but then she was like happy because she had wrestled that day, but lost to a girl who did jiu-jitsu, and then got like pegged with a strap on for, you know, 30 minutes, whatever. And then, but she had another match the next day.
I'm We've like, all been there. I did hear though, Adam, I think you're getting it wrong. I heard she was more of a porn character actor than star, but I don't know.
Well, probably right. So then she was happy because then it's also guys versus women in this too. It's not just girls versus girls.
It's like finally.
So it's like men, but like I guess the guy she was going up against was a sub, so I guess he loses. But it's not scripted. Like they actually have real matches. You would think that you would know who the winner and loser is going to be, but these are actually more real than like Bob Sapp's fights. It's like legit. These were like. So then at the end they say to me, "Hey, do you want to go back to our like room?" And, you know, I'm married with a kid. I'm like, I knew nothing was going
to
happen.
I want to. I'm not going to.
Because the girls were making out with each other, you know, and, like, I'm asking, like the other guy's, like, 60 years old from Cuba. He's telling me about the history of Cuba and this and that, blah, blah, blah. So then I was like, nah, I got to go, you know, but thank you. So I, like, go back. And the next day the guy hits me up. Hey, man, I hope you didn't think that you were here for sex. He goes, no disrespect, but we're not that kind of couple. We don't have sex with random people. We were just, you know, inviting you for like just to talk and stuff. But now I feel insulted. Like before I didn't feel insulted.
Like that is not, you don't need the necessary, oh, by the way, we didn't want to fuck you. Like, cool. It didn't, that never really came up. I just didn't go to your room with you.
Yeah, now I feel insulted, right? So.
I heard he said, Adam, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought we were going to meet Ellen tonight, and that's who we were inviting back.
we're on fire tonight.
So then, so that happens, right? So then, like, the next day, I don't want to mute Bob Sapp. I mean, Don Fry. I love Don Fry. But I could hear myself getting feedback on his thing. Like, you could hear the feedback, right, Greg?
Yes. It's really bad. We got to get Don to recall in.
Yeah. Don, could you recall in? Don? Yeah.
Well, right. That's exactly.
I had unmuted and he just muted me.
I know, but I don't want to have to keep muting you every time I talk. Is there any way? Okay, now we're okay. So, yeah, so then no disrespect.
You're a picky little bastard, you know, because they had invited Brendan Schaub to the room and had sex with him.
They did have sex with Brendan Schaub. Yes, thank you. This
That's
is why I want
hilarious. They had sex with Brendan Schaub. But now you, Adam, we wanted a real comedian like Brendan Schaub.
Absolutely, yeah. Not somebody who looks like Ellen and has the same dental makeup as Ellen.
Right. So then, like, everyone has to wear masks during the shows, right? So then some guy gets up in the middle of the show and goes, fuck, because every time you take the mask down, you could put it down to drink or eat, but you can't put it down to watch the show, right? So I guess some guy and his friend had the mask down, and the waitress told him, hey, can you put the mask up? And the guy gets up in the middle of my joke and goes, fuck this mask, and storms out. Like, the mask got heckled. You know, so I was like, give it up for Fauci. You know, like, I was fucking with the guy, but... And then I did a joke about how I said, you know, my baby was 3 weeks late.
Maybe you thought you were the lead from the movie Mask, you know?
probably. Right. So then.
Yeah, the forehead for it.
Thank you. So then Saturday, I trained with Mike Pyle. Me and Pyle did the mitts. That was awesome. So anyway, so whenever I train with Pyle, you know, I still have all these edibles from Speedweed. Like I have like 16. Right. I have all these little candies. I don't take edibles. I like smoke a joint, you know, but edibles just get me too fucked up, right? So I give my, whenever I turn a pile, I give him like a bag full of edibles, right? Well, one of them fell out in my pocket, right? So cut to yesterday, I'm getting my TRT shot, right? So I go to the doctor, and then the doctor has all these like little candies, right? He has all these candies, and I put them in my pocket, right? So I just start popping the candies, you know, like regular jawbreaker.
Oh, boy.
And so then I'm like, wow, one of these tastes really good. Of course, it was the edible, right? So I took the edible by accident. So now, like, I'm like completely fucked up all day, right? I like go home, and I'm like, my eyes, and of course, Bree is like, hey, can you watch the baby tonight? I have to go to a meeting. So now I'm just like, oh, okay, right?
I can't. I've been up all night with the porn star, honey. I'm sorry. Look at my eyes.
My eyes.
I wasn't invited, but then I had to prove a point.
My eyes are shot. My eyes are shot, right? Like, you can see. So I'm like, okay. No. So now I'm just like, oh, my God. So I ended up working out on edibles because I'm like, maybe that'll bring me down a little bit, you know? And then it was like, this is only the second time I didn't take edibles on purpose. Well, one time I was heading to a show and Eric Allegria was the feature and goes, hey, you want a Jolly Rancher? And I was like, all right. So I take it. So I'm about to go do comedy for an hour. And I go, dude, I think I got drugged. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, I don't know. I feel high as fuck. He goes, oh, that was Jolly Rancher I gave you. I go, dude, why wouldn't you tell me? So now I got to do an hour and I'm fucking like stoned off my mind. You know, and like the guy that I complained about that I might be drugged was the one who drugged me, right? And then like it was the longest 45-minute set of my life. Like every time a joke didn't work, like I assumed the joke never worked, and everyone who ever laughed was lying to me, you know. And it was just, oh, God.
So you felt like Brendan Schaub for 45 minutes.
Don Fry, how are you doing?
I'm good, sweetheart. Thank you very much. It's about time to get around to asking about me. God dang.
Did you watch the fights this weekend?
No, I was watching you in the porno room, you know. So
all right, well, I guess we're going to have to recap the fights. I think he's only doing the podcast to find out what happened in MMA. But okay. So Curtis Blaydes fought Derek Lewis, the Black Beast.
And
Curtis Blaydes, you know, Division II national champion wrestler, All-American, great Black Beast, a guy who like said he trained for 30 minutes a day, kind of looks like it, a natural athlete, like just natural ability, natural power. One of these guys that just always falls apart in like the big show, because that's when you have to become the dedicated guy when you're fighting guys like Daniel Cormier. But he beats everybody below that, sort of, even, you know. I'm kind of fucking up the description. Anyway, Curtis Blaydes is picking him apart. He's looking amazing. He's hurts him on his feet. He looks awesome. Second round, he goes in for a double leg, gets uppercut from hell. And I don't even know if it's Tuesday. He might still be on the ground in the canvas right now. Like, holy.
Well, he did get those two extra shots on him that were pretty ruthless.
Oh, my God. And I still don't know how good the Black Beast is after this, because had he not landed that uppercut, I think he would have lost the fight. I mean, is Blaydes' fight IQ as bad as we think it is, or would?
Why don't you tell him that?
I'm not telling him that at all. or is the Black Beast? Would he have found another way to win if he hadn't landed that big shot? McCorkle, what do you think?
A what round? That was like in the second round, correct?
Yeah, second round.
That's right. Beginning of it.
Yeah. At the beginning. So you really can't judge that. That's a question you can't ask, because he wasn't even at the point to where, well, he shouldn't have been at the point to where his cardio. But I've seen some of these idiots come into a UFC title match, and they can't even get through the first fucking round. So I guess you can't really judge on that. But you know,
yeah.
you shouldn't be able to judge the cardio in the first
But there are other fights where he would have lost, but he kind of threw a Hail Mary in the fifth and knocked the guy out. I think it was the Volkov fight, I believe it was. The Black Beast is an amazing athlete and got insane power. Man, I felt bad for Blades, though. I mean, my heart went out to him because it's like he did everything right, you know? And then,
well, I think you gotta – here's the thing. I think you have to give Derek Lewis credit because you know, obviously he knew Curtis was going to shoot.
Right.
And he
right.
was trying to get that uppercut, and it landed.
And to the guy that keeps yelling at me that
– it looked like the simplest, easiest game plan ever. Mm-hmm. He's like, this, because he caught him with it in the first round and almost and like backed him up in the first round with it.
Right.
So he was just waiting for him to do it again and bam. And that was it. I mean, it seems like Curtis Blades needs to not be so obvious in his desire to shoot.
And that's what they said too. That's what Bisping said. He says sometimes he gets sloppy and predictable. McCorkle, what are your thoughts?
Well, he was definitely Derek Lewis as well on his way to losing that fight for sure before he threw that uppercut. But he's an odd guy, man. It's just, I mean, beyond his personality even. He's the kind of guy who seems like he barely trains, but he's just tough, man. He's got a big right hand, and he'll hang in there till the end. No matter how, if he's going to shit his pants or how tired he is or what, he'll hang in there and try to land it. And a guy like that would be scary if he really, really was dedicated. But sometimes guys like that wouldn't be where they are if they're dedicated, because he wouldn't be throwing all caution to win and throwing Hail Marys and knocking people out if he was, you know, sticking to a game plan. So who knows?
Yeah, you're right. That's a very good point, Sean.
You know, the other thing about that is Curtis Blades, I think the lesson for him is if you get Derek Lewis hurt for a second, you got to go for the kill. You can't sit around and wait for him to catch you. You know, I think he had some opportunities in the first round. I think you wanted to see how it played out.
Yeah, but he's never been finished, though. I mean,
look for a better opportunity.
But he's never been finished, though. He's been submitted, but he's never been knocked out. So that's the problem with a guy like that is you can go for the kill, but you also have to be super careful because he's dangerous even when he's hurt. This dude's just
he does do that possum thing sometimes. But yeah. I just think, I mean, to me, that was the only other out would have been for him to try and finish sooner.
Now, he called out Overeem. Overeem needs to not fight that guy. Knockout loss. Come on, dude. He's taken a lot of damage in his career, Overeem. I don't want to see him get knocked out by Derek Lewis. I don't think anyone wants to see that unless you actually hate the guy. Maybe he fucked your wife or whatever, but like, that's not the guy that you want to fight again. He also called out John Jones. Interesting fight because I think John Jones beats him. I know that I tweeted that like Jones went down to light heavyweight and then someone was like, yeah, right. John Jones would kill him. And John Jones' brother liked that tweet, Arthur Jones. So, but I honestly think that John Jones is probably like the highest fight IQ in all of MMA. He's never lost a fight, never lost. Him and Khabib, two guys that, like at that level.
Which that'll teach you to argue whether or not cocaine works.
So I gotta say, I think Jones is smart enough to just keep the distance to keep away. I mean, you can't. I don't think that the Black Beast was more dangerous than Rampage was in his prime when Jones beat Rampage. But then again, Jones isn't the same guy that he was when he fought Rampage. So who do you think wins that fight, Don Fry?
Well, I'm with you, unfortunately. You know, I gotta go with John Jones. He's an incredible athlete. And, you know, like you said, he's a great fight IQ. But the thing is, He's never tired. I've never seen him get tired in a fight yet.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll run the legs off of the beast. That's all there is to it. That guy, I mean, within the first half round, you know, the beast will be huffing and puffing and tapping the mat. Just going to wore out. You know, he'd be done. He would be done in the first half.
Greg, Sean?
I think John Jones beats him pretty easily. I think John Jones beats everybody except maybe Ngannou, if Ngannou hits him. You know, and even then, I don't know, John Jones might beat him too. But I thought the only person that was going to beat John Jones at any point, other than the two or three fights he obviously lost by decision that they gave him, I thought Cain Velasquez could wear him down and possibly beat him when he was in his prime, both of them in their prime. But past that, I mean, with what he did to Cormier, man, that was – I don't know. He took it to a whole other level beating Cormier the way he did. It was amazing.
Greg?
John Jones. I don't think he's one of those guys that don't bet against him when they get in there. You know, they're legendary. They're like Khabib-like in that, you know, it's like, no, he'll find a way to win. Once he's in there, he'll find a way to win.
Now, have you guys seen the bathroom fight that went on last week? It's like trending yeah. right now.
Wait, whose? Mine or yours?
Hold on. All right. Let me see. All right. Let me see if I'm gonna share the screen. So this went viral. This video is going viral now. So all right, hold on. How do we do this? So I'll go share screen. So this guy right here is a football player. Can you guys see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can see it.
All right, so he's a football player from OU. Now the bullet. Now they say football player. He's a placeholder. Now, does that count as a football player when you're the placeholder?
No.
Oh my God, that's it. He's the placeholder.
Yeah.
I could be the placeholder. Yeah. You basically got an honorary jersey.
Okay, so because I played football, but I'm not. I don't know all the positions. Even though I played varsity football, I still only played my particular thing. So, I mean, do you have to be athletic to be the placeholder? Do you have to take hits? Do you have to be able to tackle?
You might. I mean, if the play breaks down, you might. But generally, the guy who's the placeholder has some other position on the team. It's rare that you have a guy that's just the fucking placeholder. Like usually, he's also the punter or a backup quarterback or something.
No. No, you're talking the kicker. You're talking this guy's a placeholder. He's just a breathing stop, you know? I mean, try him in one of those rubber stops. All they do is as soon as that kicker kicks that ball, they run to the sideline to get off the field in case okay. the other team comes in their way.
So him and his buddy were getting into a fight with these two guys, right? And these two guys to the right, they not on the wrestling team, but they've wrestled for 10 years, and they said that they've done cage fighting for 10 years, which is crazy because they're like 19. So here's what happens. So this guy
looks like Ben Askren until he landed a punch.
Oh, shit.
Dropped him good. Shit, his buddy's got the other guy good, too.
Shit. Hey, he ain't fucking around, cuz. He got his nobody coming back, bro. Hey.
Look at that guy just steps over. I'm like, guys, I'm not in there. Oh, he's got the neck. He's got a rear naked.
That's not a motherfucker. Oh shit, bro. Y'all motherfuckers ain't playing around. Bro.
So
wow.
Oy. Yeah, so that's hold on. I gotta fucking alright, hold on. Yeah, so that went down at OU. And first of all, it goes to show you'll never know who trains. Number one. Number two, why are you fighting in bathrooms? Come on. Number three, so now that guy, the guy who got beat up is suing. He's suing the other guy for his eye injury. He almost lost his eye. And the other guy has like a GoFundMe account, which now a bunch of MMA fighters are like donating to for his legal fees. But what are your thoughts on that fight, Brandon Schwab Sucks?
My biggest concern is, are his placeholding days over? Like that, with that injury? Like that's the only thing I'm concerned about. I know he's going to be a high draft pick.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, maybe he gets sued for loss of wages.
No, I mean, the guy obviously knew what he was doing. Those other two guys were bullies. But the guy had his nose bloody before the fight started. So it was obviously that carried over from someone else. But
okay,
Don, what are your thoughts on that fight?
I didn't get to see it, partner. My phone is still messed up. You know, I'm waiting for the phone fairy to come by and bless it or something, and so that I can
get. Greg Fry, have you ever got a fight in a bathroom?
Hell yeah! I fought this cheesesteak I'd eaten a few hours before. Boy, I had to punch it with my asshole to get it out.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Who works for number two? Who works for number two? That's it. Show him who's boss. Show him who's boss. Take it.
But it just goes to show you, man, you never know who trains. You never know who trains. And what are you picking a fight for? I mean, what do you guys?
No, it looks like a classic. You're so proud of those little guys. You know, as a little guy, I'm so proud of them because those guys, it seemed like an 80s movie. You know, like they're the rich kid, pretty boys. Like, hey, you need one of you guys, you know? And then these guys are wrestlers and it's fucking, you know, cue the fucking Simple Minds music and shit.
But also, like, you're at Oklahoma University or OU, you're the placeholder. Guy seems like a pretty good looking guy. Like, you won, dude. Like, you won. You're on the football team. You're probably on scholarship. You know, you can probably get laid. What are you starting fights with fucking guys with flat noses that are a foot shorter than you in bathrooms? You know, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, you won. You won the
genetics. You know, it would have been weird if it would have been really weird if Derek Lewis was in there and beat him up, because then they'd be saying afterward, like, you never know who doesn't train.
Oh, God. All right. So some other fights that went on this week. Alexei Olenek, who the guy goes for the Ezekiel choke, like, within 3 seconds of the
fight. Really quickly.
Yes.
Really quickly. That being the undercard on this show is still better than the co-main event on the fucking on the Saturday show.
But right. But you mean the two girls that fought?
Yeah, the bathroom fight was more important on this show than the fucking.
The bathroom fight got 7 million hits. You know that guy's gotta be like, fuck. Like, no one even knew who that guy was as a placeholder. What's up, people? Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Look, football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. How cool is that? They got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. That's right. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, okay? Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. Check them out. Yana fought Vieira. That was, you know, that fight could have went either way. I thought that I had Vieira winning, if I have to be totally honest, but I was kind of like the fact that Yana won because she landed so much more strikes. So,
yeah. I didn't think it was close.
I thought it could have went either way. The Olenek, that guy, look, I like the guy. I think he's got to stop fighting. I mean, he's like had 75 fights.
Oh, yeah. He looked terrible.
He went for the Ezekiel choke, like, from fucking, like, the weigh-ins. He just keeps going for the same move over and over again. He's like, during the walkout, he went for it. And the other guy is a cop. He's a cop from New England. And he works 40 hours a week. He trains twice a day. And it's just one of those dudes that, like, I feel like they were setting him up to look good. And he did. He looked great. But we don't know how good he is because he beat a guy that, like, you know, coming off some losses or some wins. But I don't know. It just seems like it's same with Arlovsky. You watch Arlovsky fight, Sean?
No. I didn't know he was fighting.
Yeah, he got fucked up. He lost to this guy from England, Espinali. He got taken down. He got beat up at the beginning, and then he got rear naked choked. He looked like he didn't want to be there. I got to be honest. It seemed like our
last. Well, I'm sure he didn't. At that point, I'm sure he didn't want to be there.
Yeah, but he didn't, like, look good at all, man.
I don't know. I hate when they set up these, like, older veterans versus these younger guys that are trying to build up. I get what they're trying to do at the same – and I love it when it doesn't work out, because I always got to root for the older vet guy. But when it does work out, it's bad. You know, it's just like, you know, as far as the undercard that went on, I thought Nate Dutrain – did anybody watch the undercard?
I did, yes.
I thought that fight would stop way too early. You know, I understand.
Way too early. And that was the other one. The very first fight was stopped way too late. Like, that kid's face was hamburger meat. And then that one, the guy's barely down. I didn't think he looked out at all. And he called it. I totally agree. That guy got screwed.
And if you watch any of his fights, they're all fucking wars. Like, I hate to have different rules for different guys. But if you know that one guy's been in, like, 50 wars and can come back from a beating – you kind of got to give him the benefit of the doubt, you know, versus a guy who just goes out every time when you hit him. Do you think, Don, they should have different rules for different fighters based on how much pain a guy can take?
No, but they should have common sense. You know, I mean, like you said, they should know who the fighter is. I mean, yeah, they probably should subconsciously have different rules. Yeah, but you're not going to announce it. You know,
right.
But the judges have to be educated on the fact of what this fighter can do. And, you know, going back to the heavyweight fight, you said Curtis landed a couple of punches, you know. That's what they got to stay close on the heavyweight fight.
Yeah.
They can't beat the referee who's on the other side of the ring, you know, or the cage. And the heavyweight fight could go out in a second, and then the guy clip him a few more times and cause some serious injury. So, yeah, they got to stay real close to the heavyweights and back off for the little guys.
Yeah, it was crazy because the Black Beast actually said, that's Herb Dean's fault. That's Herb Dean's fault for not stopping it. He said, you know, he fights till it gets called off. He goes, I don't want to be like the Undertaker where the guy just
– listen, that's fine and good, of course, but that was bullshit. The guy's totally stiff, clearly out, and he didn't take just one. I mean, and the one landed square, and then he got in a second quickly.
Yeah.
You could tell he was taking advantage of the moment because you don't get to really go off on somebody like that legally that often. So you could see he wanted, and he just was like, you know, I thought Herb Dean got there as fast as he could.
Well, you know, look at Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt could eclipse some people seriously, but he knows once he connects, all right, it's over. He walks away. Criminy.
You're right on that, Don. Don, you're right about that. But I've seen that people try to do the Mark Hunt thing where they knock the guy down and walk away, and the fight's not over. And they were better off.
Well, that's what I was trying to say before I was rudely interrupted. you know, when you make that contact, you make that hit, you can feel it all the way down to your heels, you know? And some criminy just vibrates through your body. And so you know when the guy's out.
Yeah. It's true.
I was fortunate enough, Adam, that I never had any knockout power, so I never had to worry about pulling off once I'd hit a guy. So, I really do think, though, man, they need to they're going to have to do something, because with a guy like Derek Lewis, somebody's going to die. With a guy like Derek Lewis hitting you defenseless like that, like it – I mean, I don't know what the answer is, because guys can, you know, recover right away. Like, some guys get woken up by the first punch after the knockdown, but they're going to have to do something. Somebody's going to die, man.
You think maybe they should have tasers on everybody, like, or like chains? So, like you could, like.
Well, maybe. Oh, I mean,
now you get into racist slavery joke. Come on.
The white people are going to have it too. I'm just saying the fighters.
The fucking Whitey. Yeah, Whitey's got to throw the chains in there.
I didn't know. I meant like a shock collar or something. Like, but not for because he's black. Just for
Now you're going to shock him. Now you're going to tase the motherfucker. Holy shit. He's just honestly going to go get some Ritz crackers for his family, and you want to tase his ass. God dang.
Ritz crackers.
I mean, you could. I mean, what if you instituted, like, you know, I mean, you could say, listen, if you take extra cheap shots, you could get fined. Would that be deterred?
No, I mean, it is on the ref. It's on the ref. It's because then you're going to say the fighters are going to, like, the guy's not going to be out. The guy's going to say, oh, I would have hit him again, but I don't want to get fined.
That's true, too.
That's the problem there. I was happy.
What if the ref had to take as many shots as he let the guy take afterwards? Oh, so if the guy takes two free ones, and the ref's got to take two of them.
If I don't get called after, like, the fucking first jab. Yeah. By the way, John Castaneda, who won his fight, he came to my show with his girlfriend who left, who got offended and left, and he stayed.
That's awesome.
So I was,
you know, anytime I thought he fought that anyway, like, anytime they have like some kind of gimmicky mustache or hairstyle, they always lose. I don't know why. I don't know if they think that that's supposed to give him some extra power, like try and get me. He was even fighting old timey too. I was like, the fuck is this, man?
I don't think he was fighting old timey. I think that Wineland is like that old. I think he was there.
Hey, Adam. Do you keep muting me?
Yes, I do. Because every time someone else talks, there's like all kinds of noise. So then I can't hear what they're saying. Because your line keeps breaking up.
That's the biggest crock of shit. Holy
Greg, is that what I'm – Greg, am I right for doing
it? No, it is. No, there's a ton of feedback, and it does help. I can always tell when he mutes it because the feedback stops for a second. But, yes, but then you have to go through the trouble of unmuting yourself, which is a pain in the ass, and I totally get that. And so I think maybe you'd like – just. I think it would be resolved quite possibly if you just hung up and recalled back in real fast. I think that might do it. That echo thing isn't always there.
So that's it.
I'm offended. I'm done with you silly people. I'm offended. Goodbye.
Would you like to speak with a manager?
He left.
Would you like to speak with a manager, sir?
So, all right. So Chaz Skelly.
He'll be back in 2 seconds.
Did you guys see what happened with Chaz Skelly? Like he came out.
Yes. That was also that. Now, did he end up getting the money or not?
All right. So he got the money. The other guy had the other guy had muscle spasms right before the fight. Told him, I don't know why they couldn't get to him and tell him the fight's off until after he walked into the octagon. That was the craziest thing. It was almost like you got punked. Like I was waiting for like Ashton Kutcher to come out and be like, hey, just kidding. Cause I felt bad for him. Like that was crazy. And then he yelled, but then you know what? Afterwards, you see him singing?
No.
Did you see him say, all right. So afterwards he sang and like, I'm not a Tenacious D fan. Are you a big Tenacious D fan? Were you?
A little bit. Not tremendously, but I'm familiar with their bigger things.
All right. So basically, afterwards, Chaz Skelly was singing Tenacious D and it just got like a million hits or something. All over ESPN.
Don't
this is the guy.
Always have to fuck her hard. In fact, sometimes to do. Sometimes you got to make some love and fucking give some smooches too. Sometimes you got to squeeze. And sometimes you got to say please. And sometimes you got to say hey. I'm gonna fuck you. Softly, I'm gonna screw you, Jimmy.
All right, so this goes on for 2 minutes.
Why?
I love it.
that was his speech after the show. So it was right. all over ESPN.
Love it. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, he's now people's favorite fighter. So he goes out there.
I was going to say, that was a brilliant use of the time. He didn't get to fight. He had nothing else to do. I thought that's genius. He got all the press. He did it right.
I think he just lost his mind. I think he just was like, you know what? Fuck it. I may wait. I weighed in. I had a game plan. I go out there. He goes back. I got paid. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to fucking – you get to that point where you're just like,
listen, it would have been a much different song if he didn't get paid. Yeah. it would have been like, fuck you, motherfucker. NWA shit.
Greg Fry, what's your favorite song?
My favorite song? It's I Love a Rainy Night by Eddie Rabbit.
Wow, all right. That's good. That's good. Now – do you like to sing like before you have sex with girls? Do you like to sing to them?
Of course, I like to sing to them. I like to sing to them songs like "Hey, you're never gonna see your family again." Hey,
wow,
they're gonna wonder where you've been. Hey,
okay, you know what? We gotta cut that out.
All right, so that's
we cannot put that out.
Greg, wow, Don.
And you mute me? You fucking mute me?
All I gotta stop doing this podcast.
Right. So Travis Fulton got arrested. You know Travis Fulton, right?
Did he really?
Yeah, for kiddie porn.
Motherfucker.
For trying to bring girls in for kiddie porn. And I guess he had some kind of domestic violence against him. Fulton's a guy that has the most MMA fights of all time. I think his record's like 140 and like 60 or something. Did you know Travis at all? Don?
You know what? I might have met him once or twice, but he's guilty of that shit. I hope the fucker dies in prison. I hope everyone in motherfucking kitty fucking die. I hate the pedophile.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard to fucking, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. Do you ever meet Travis, Sean?
I did at some point. I don't remember when, but I bet he's about to break the record for most prison fights also. That's true. So they don't like that in there from what I've heard.
Boy,
so.
That's a true story right there.
About to break the record for most prison fights. All right. So, all right. What else we got? This week, there's some good fights this week. Don, please watch them. It's Rosenstreich against Cyril Kane. Kane is 6-0. Both these guys are coming off knockouts of Jair Dos Santos. Or maybe Rosenstreich just, I think he knocked him out. He beat him. Both guys have insane power. Rosenstreich almost, he's only has like one loss, and that was to Ngannou. That was a crazy, they went punch for punch. Just not the guy you want to go punch for punch with. And
so stupid.
Yeah, this should be a good fight. That should be a good fight. Also, Ankalaev. Is fighting Krylov. Ankalaev is also a monster. He beat Kudalaba, but Krylov beat Johnny Walker, OSP. His only losses are to Glover Teixeira and to Jan Blachowicz recently. Another good fight. Kevin Kroom, who we had him on the podcast. Remember, he was like ADHD up the ass. I don't know if you remember him. He's fighting Bruce Leroy. That should be Kroom won his
comeback fight for Bruce, huh?
Well, he won his last fight, Bruce Leroy. Remember, he beat Chase Hooper. He beat Chase Hooper pretty bad.
Oh, right. That's right.
And then Ashley Yoder, who's like super hot, underrated hot, and a good fighter. She's fighting Angela Hill, also hot. And then Alonzo Menifield.
Now is Angela Hill coming off a loss, or has she had a win since that one loss?
She's been winning left and right. She's like fighting all the time and killing it. And then Alonzo Menifield, our guy.
He's back.
He's fighting William Knight, also a good fighter. Menifield needs a win. He's got to get to that point where he's been thinking too much. You know, these guys, it's hard. These guys, they start off like 9-0, then they get their first loss, and then all of a sudden they start doubting everything and thinking too much.
Yeah.
And then sometimes that is like
my life story.
Is that your life story for real?
Yeah, exactly what happened. Yeah.
I mean, how?
What? No, I was 9 or 10 and 0, and then I got my first loss, and it was never the same. It was funny because Monty Cox was my agent, and he told me after I lost first time, don't let this ruin your fight career. You know, like most guys never recover from that first loss. They lose their confidence, and I never got it back. Like I could not, especially for Stefan Struve to be the guy to beat you. Nothing against him, but to lose to Stefan Struve, I was just like, I was sure I was going to win that fight. And then after that, I'm like, man, anybody could beat me. Don Fry could even probably beat me. That's what I was thinking.
Now,
Sean,
did you train the same way? Sean, did you train the same way?
I did, but it wasn't fun anymore the way I saw everyone turn on me after I lost the first time. So I got kind of bitter. Like everybody, it's funny, you'll get 1,000 messages when you win from people you don't know, and you'll also get 1,000 messages when you lose from people you don't know telling you how much you suck and you cost them money on a bet and you're a piece of shit and you should die and all that. And I'm like, I didn't know you guys would talk to my ex-wife, but that was just my family. Also my kids. But
now Don, after your first loss, did you have that problem too where you overthought everything?
No, I went insane. I watched that fight every day, and I just chewed on it and chewed on it. It drove me. I just wanted nothing more than to get back, you know, and fight him. And it consumed me, you know.
Oh, I feel sorry for who. I bet you consumed whoever was next. I mean, I don't want to be that guy.
I feel bad because he had to watch it on his VCR. So he had to, like,
kept rewinding it.
Yeah, there was no computers back then, right? You had to, like, rewind it, no?
Right, yeah. The big VCR machine that weighed 40 pounds, yeah.
Adam, did I ever tell you guys, I can't remember, did I ever tell you guys on here about when I got on the UFC video game and I was so excited? Did I tell that story or not?
When like, your kid said you were the worst one on the game?
Yeah, like, my kid, I thought I'd be real excited to play, and I came down, it was me versus Cain Velasquez, and I'm getting murdered. I'm like, dude, you got to press A and B at the same time to get up. He goes, no, Dad, I'm Cain. And I was like, wait, you're playing against me? He goes, Dad, no offense. He goes, you're the worst heavyweight on here. He said, you're ratings. Yeah. Like, what are ratings? Like, thanks, buddy. Like, I thought he'd be so excited. So,
also on this card, Jimmy Rivera is fighting Munoz. I like Jimmy Rivera. He's a good dude. He was like 15-1 when he got into the UFC. Had some ups and downs. Munoz coming off two losses, I believe. Also, Dustin Jacoby, who's an amazing kickboxer. He's got, like, for glory. He's fighting Maxim Grishin, also a tough fighter from the PFL. And Alexis Davis, who's actually, I mean, she's a good fighter, super hot in person. Like, some people look better in person. Not just look bad on thing, but in person, you're like, you ever see that, Greg, where someone, like, she's hot on TV too, but, like, in person, you're like, whoa. And then there are people that you see them in person, you're like, well, not as hot as they were on TV. But
yeah, see, I don't have that problem. When people look at me, they're like, and then they see me live, they're like, oh yeah,
you really are that ugly, yeah.
It's sad, man, but this is not a filter.
Greg, you've always gotten girls way out of your league. I've
seen that's true, though.
I've seen the girls that you've hooked up with, and I was just like, what? Like, I've seen you with, like, 10.
He's broke the next day.
But I'm a king for one night.
I've seen Greg with tens. I mean, out of 100. No, but I honestly, I've seen you with girls because you're funny. You're funny, and women like to laugh. So, you know.
Yeah, I've always done well that way.
And now McCorkle told me he banged every 10 in Indiana at one point. Is this true?
Yeah, but there was only two. So
I was about to say. So what did you do the next night?
Yeah, it was Indiana. I always tell people anywhere I go in Indiana, it looks like they're filming The Hills Have Eyes 3. Like when you walk around, like everybody really does. Everybody's eyes are too close together or too far apart. No one, like, down the middle, you know? So it's a lot of inbreeding going on around here, I think.
And now, Don Fry, when you were in Japan and you were, like, this, you know, the legend in wrestling and this, how many Asian women, like, just did you have? Probably a lot, right?
No, partner, I was married, you know, and I didn't do anything. I was a married man, plus my ex-wife gave me herpes, so I didn't want to spread that around, you know. So.
Never heard of an ex-wife giving a man anything. That's surprising.
That's the most positive thing she gave me, yeah.
Wow. Really,
that's what the one thing he got to keep in the divorce.
Yeah. Wow. She didn't ask for that one back, yeah.
Now, when you found out you had herpes, did you come up, what did you say to her, anything?
I asked her if she gave it to me. And she said, well, yeah. And everybody passed it around, basically, you know.
Yeah, well, that's love right there.
That's so funny. People with herpes are always acting like everybody has herpes. It's like, I know that not everybody. Not everybody.
Everybody I know does. 75% of the people on the planet have it, so you'll get it. Then they say,
listen,
you can have it for years and not know it. Oh, okay.
Listen, Don, I tried to get it, to be clear. I tried to get it so much. So
I can't believe that you, Greg, did coke out of a girl's asshole that you met on the first night, and some of it wasn't even coke. And do you think maybe your body is just conditioned to
exactly. I just conditioned. When you have everything, you have nothing.
So, all right. Also on this card, Alex Hernandez is a guy who he was on a roll. I remember he knocked out Benil Dariush, and then he fought Donald Cerrone, and Cerrone, that was like Cerrone's big comeback fight. Then he's won some, he's lost some. He's fighting Moises Silva, who's coming off a win over Bobby Green and Michael Johnson. Those are two guys that are tough to beat. I think this is going to be the fight of the night because this dude, Alex Hernandez, he's an angry guy from Texas, Mexican dude. He's ready. He always brings it, this guy. So I think that's going to be a good fight. I honestly think that's the fight of the night for me. Now
he doesn't look that Mexican.
I think he's I don't know. Now, there was a fight that I watched. I gotta show you guys this fight. They say it's the most ridiculous fight. It's got to be the most ridiculous fight that I've seen in a while. Don, I got to get your thoughts on this one. Hold on.
You obviously haven't watched my early fights.
So, all right. Let me know what – it's two guys. They're fighting in and this was the main event. This is the round two. So round two, they were tired. Round one, they got pretty tired.
Mari kita lihat saja. Kita lihat tadi kembali low kick lagi dari Alex Monster.
What are they doing? Are they just like both quitting at the same time?
Masih belum masuk. Tapi kedua fighter sudah swinging the fences. Tapi sudah kapasan tenaga.
Has anybody hit anything yet?
Lihat siapa yang terjatuh nih, Bung. Seperti siapa yang pukulannya bisa masuk.
For some reason, this reminds me of a bad Godzilla movie.
Hey,
were there good ones?
Hey, Greg, you better back off, buddy. There's a good one, and they're all good except for that American one.
I love it. This is where you draw the line. You shut up about Godzilla movies, boy. Dude, what are we watching here? What is this?
All right, so hold on. All right, so that was
something. It was like Godzilla versus Brother Godzuki. Like, remember that? I don't know.
No, I mean, that had to be. Is that just two guys just completely exhausted, just going for it? I mean, that was one of the funniest fights I've ever seen. The guy just laid down and let the other guy hit him for 9 minutes and then got back up and knocked the other guy down.
That was the most surprising part is when he got back up. I was like, there's more to this?
Okay. That's what she said, yeah.
God, I wish you could watch that fight. Unfortunately, your phone doesn't work, so you don't even know what we're watching. But that was a pretty good fight, just so you know. Maybe in like the replay, you'll watch it of the podcast.
Yeah, Don doesn't watch the UFC fights, but I'm sure he'll catch that one. I'm sure that'll be nice.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I feel like this pandemic. I mean, between like Ben Askren boxing Jake Paul, and Ben being the underdog, is basically epitomizes 2020 and 2021.
When is that? Does anybody know when that is? Is there a date set or not?
It's in April. Yeah, it's on Triller. And people are saying the undercard is going to be even more ridiculous.
Huh.
Man.
I love it. It's on Triller. It's on an app. That's, oh, my God.
Now, have I you, love it. Now, Greg, have you joined the Clubhouse app yet or no?
I have joined Clubhouse, and I'm going to say something that really is appropriate for my age. I don't get it. what the, like, you just listen to other people talk about shit? Like, that, what? Like, they should call it eavesdrop. That's what it is. It's like you're sitting at a restaurant and you want to have a quiet meal, but the table next to you has decided to have an in-depth discussion that none of them are qualified to
talk about. It's like a podcast and, with information.
Yeah, and you got to sit there and listen to, I don't know. I got to go back. And maybe in a few months I'll be like, I love it on Clubhouse.
I went on the first time. I got hooked because they had these four producers that were, like, pretty big that I've heard of. That one guy produced Entourage, another guy Umbrella. And you could, like, pitch your show to them. So I pitched my show to them, and they liked it. And I got their info, and I sent it to them. Nothing's come from it yet, but that was like, you know, we'll see. At the same time, I feel like a lot of people are just getting complimented the whole time. It's like everyone just says how great the app is, but you don't actually. And then there was one where it was like, I went on, it was like your craziest sex story, right? So there was like three girls on there and a guy, and the girls I knew because they were comics, sort of. Heard them. One girl talks about how she's like, yeah, kind of, right? One girl talks about how she never masturbated before she was 25, so she went out and got like an avocado or something and like stuck it up her vagina, and then she got into it, that she started, and then somebody wanted her to do it publicly, so she started like blasting herself with a avocado outside of a Subway restaurant, right?
I think you mean a cucumber, right? Not an avocado.
Yeah, maybe a cucumber, right? A cucumber.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'm trying to figure this out. How she's getting retrieving it, you know?
All right, yeah, a cucumber, right? So she's so,
yeah. I was having trouble picturing the avocado. Is it like a?
All right, yeah, right. A cucumber, right? She's blasting some cucumber outside of a Subway. So now another girl goes, "Oh, is that for your OnlyFans?" She's like, "Yeah." It's like that wasn't even like. So now they both like. Like that's a normal thing. And I just wanted to hug my daughter after that and be like, listen, it doesn't have to be like this. We're not gonna be in Clubhouse telling strangers about the time you put a cucumber up your pussy for at a Subway restaurant. But that was you watching that with your daughter. What was that?
What are you doing watching that with your daughter?
I'm not. I'm saying like the next day. The next day I gave her a hug. I didn't actually say that to her. It was sort of for comedic purpose.
His wife had asked him to put her to bed, and she wanted a bedtime story. And he had some work to do, so he was like, well, I'll just let her listen to this Clubhouse conversation.
Yeah, they are all out of SpongeBob SquarePants shows.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't really.
You guys think he is Travis Fulton?
Oh come on, we took it all the way back to Travis. All right, so yeah, that's I don't know. So that I don't get it either, Greg. I don't see all the what everyone's the hype about it. I feel like everyone's just scared of like missing out on the next big app. Everyone's just jumping on new apps.
I that's what I feel like too. Like it's like, oh, this is the hot one. Everybody get on it. And it's like, okay, you know. And actually, I'm writing a whole bit about how I'm just done with trying to adapt. To the next, you know, like I was good with MySpace. Do we really have to another, you know, like I can't, we're already done with Snapchat. Remember this time last year, everyone was like, you gotta be on Snapchat. But now does it, when was the last time anybody fucking mentioned Snapchat?
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm done with it. I don't care anymore.
I think people stopped using Snapchat when Chris D'Elia found out the messages don't delete after you send them. I think that pushed everybody off of Snapchat. Chris D'Elia was like, wait a minute, you can screenshot those?
Yeah. Maybe. So Paige Van Zandt's coming back to bare knuckle boxing in the summer. You know, I think I honestly think she'll do better because I think that first one's probably the hardest, especially when it comes to bare knuckle boxing. It seems like that's one of those things you can't really – hard to get experience doing that. It's hard to train bare knuckle unless you're
Don. You go to the bar. You go to the bar and you
have exactly.
How many bar fights have you gotten into?
Well, I don't remember. The thing about bar fights, you don't remember. You just wake up the next day with a black eye.
So Gina Carano believes she was a victim of bullying by Disney. Promised to go down swinging.
Good.
So that's...
She should. Take those fuckers out of the woodshed, you know? I mean, they're chickens. They're rolling over a bunch of pansy asses.
All right, well, that's our podcast for today. Greg, what do you have?
I feel like Brendan Schaub.
No. What do you have? All right, I got to take out the one. All right, what do you have, Greg, coming up?
I don't know. Something. I'm around. I finished shooting that show, and now I'm just kind of taking it easy for the week, so.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
I get my $10,000 dog tomorrow, finally after a week delay, so my puppy Mill will be up and running tomorrow.
Right.
What a welcome he has. Guy's going to get off the flight. He's going to be tired. Like, all right, get the fucking.
Get the fucking.
How are they getting
he got jacked. He got jacked the dog off on the way, you know.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with
fluffy. He got fluffy on the way to the house.
How are they getting the dog to you, by the way, in the 12 feet of snow?
Well, the snow's melting. There's something called a flight nanny where I guess they will go pick up your dog and bring it to you for $500, which makes no sense because the guy's flying from Houston to Hartford, Connecticut, to Indianapolis to bring a dog to me for $500. It doesn't make sense. But I don't know. I'm sure it's real high-quality service.
That's crazy. Well, listen.
You know what, Adam? I do need to mention I did a great interview for Inside the Comedy Institute with Marina Franklin, and I'll be releasing that later this week, so you can look for that on Spotify or Breaker or Google Play or whatever. Inside the Comedy Institute, this new interview with Marina Franklin, who's been on Conan and Last Comic Standing and all these amazing shows. She had a one-hour special recently called Single Black Female, so it's a pretty enlightening view into her comedy world.
Fine. Thank you. And then you can watch my special on UFC Fight Pass, Adam Hunter Throwing Punches. I got gigs coming up in Scottsdale, Arizona, as well as Chattanooga, Tennessee.
When?
It's all on adamhunter.com, but the third week of March.
You can't tell me? Criminy.
No. Hold on. Let me see. I don't even know. Let me see. I'll tell you exactly. Camilla.
I heard that Scottsdale was Brendan Schaub country. I don't
March
25th,
hey, March 25th to the 28th. I'll be in Scottsdale, Arizona. You guys are the best. Take care, guys. You're the best.
Bye-bye. Don't bother asking me what I'm doing. Thank you.
Oh, wait. Hold on, Don. What do you got coming up? Don, what do you got coming up? Oh, fuck. He left.
Way to go. Great.
It's white, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to ask Don what he's doing. Hold on.
I'm bleaching my sheets.
He's going into town, hopefully, to get a server finally.
Yeah, he's got to get that server.
All right. Don, come back. Oh, fuck. All right. Oh, fuck. All right. So, Greg Fry, what do you have coming up?
You know what? I'm out. I'm out of the episode.
All right. Thank you, guys. You guys are the best.
See you guys.